How aviation is doing depends on where you stand. TSA softens its security directive, or so we're told. And Italy lobbies on behalf of the VH-71. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 1st, 2009. Today, we'll start with a little aviation economics potpourri. The Thiel Group in Fairfax, Virginia, noted forecaster of aviation business trends, now says all indications are that business aviation is in for a prolonged and painful downturn. Analyst Richard Abulafia says demand will start back up in late 2010, but will take some time to work through excess inventory. He tells Aviation Week, quote, "This means new business jet deliveries won't start to recover until 2012. The trough year of our forecast, 2011, will see business jet deliveries reduced by 40% relative to 2008. Our forecast then calls for a five-year recovery period with 10% growth per year starting in 2012. Meanwhile, over in the flight training industry, a less formal but more positive observation comes from Doug Stewart, chairman of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, in his biweekly update to SAFE members yesterday. Quote, "If the experiences of many of us on the SAFE board over the past 2 weeks are any indication, the amount of flying we're doing is increasing exponentially. Many of us are finding our flight schedules packed full. I certainly hope that is the case for all of you who seek more time in the sky." Unquote. At Suffolk Executive Airport, the Virginia Regional Festival of Flight had 200 airplanes on the flight line by 11 a.m. Saturday morning. A great first-day start for the Heritage Regional. Event volunteer coordinator Judy Petusik told the Suffolk News Herald, quote, "We're hoping to break some records," unquote. Last year, most regional fly-ins saw attendance fall. We should have some final numbers for Virginia in the next couple days. And Frontier Airlines has reported a net profit of $2.4 million in April. That doesn't sound like much, but it's a huge improvement from April of 2008's loss of almost $27 million. CEO Sean Menke says Frontier's restructuring and cost-cutting under Chapter 11 is paying off, and also gives credit for the improvement to all the new a la carte fees. The National Business Aviation Association is optimistic that adjustments made Friday by the U.S. Transportation Security Administration to its Emergency Security Directive requiring security badging for GA pilots at commercial airports signals a willingness on the agency's part to be reasonable. NBAA's statement says in part, quote, "The TSA has addressed some of the immediate top-level concerns about how the TSA's badging program would be implemented and what impact it might have on security and safety. The agency's willingness to address our most pressing concerns gives us optimism that, over time, TSA officials will remain ready to discuss additional unforeseen and unexpected effects of the program so that it does not become an impediment to operations," unquote. We'd love to tell you exactly what's in Revision G of this rule and how NBAA's concerns were addressed, but TSA hasn't made the full document available, citing its sensitive nature. Nevertheless, enforcement starts today. Good luck. Italian Defense Minister Ignazio La Russa has joined the chorus of supporters for continuation of the U.S. VH-71 presidential helicopter program. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates officially canceled further development, calling the program late and over budget. Lockheed based the VH-71 on the Agusta Westland 101 civilian helicopter. That's a product of Italy and the UK. Defense News reports La Russa's letter reads in part, quote, "The cancellation of the VH-71 program would negatively impact jobs in the industrial base in Italy and the UK. It is fundamental for all allied countries to maintain a strong, autonomous defense industrial capability, and this program is a key element in the pursuit of that strategy," unquote. There is no sign of reconsideration of the cancellation by the Obama administration so far. Despite criticism that development and deliveries were far enough along, the cancellation may now cost more than taking delivery of 14 of the machines. Up next on ANN, the FAA opens comments on light sport gyroplanes. Composite Technology opens a big new plant in Texas. And Delta offers its first early out incentive for pilots. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 1st. I'm Paul Plagg. The FAA appears ready to let a little sunlight into one of general aviation's darkest statistical corners. The agency is now accepting comments on new petitions from three manufacturers of small gyroplanes, seeking authorization to sell them as experimental light sport aircraft in the U.S. In the 1930s, when the early autogyros roamed the Earth, their ability to take off and land with zero ground speed and their immunity from aerodynamic stalls resulted in a safety record superior to that of their contemporary fixed-wing airplanes. After being made largely obsolete by helicopters, gyroplanes made a comeback in the 1950s as single-seat homebuilts, among which the Benson gyrocopter was the most famous. Dr. Igor Benson was an engineer at General Electric, but many of his imitators were not qualified designers. The next half century of gyroplane history was marred at times by unstable designs and a culture of self-training with a commensurately grim fatality rate. Since the early 1970s, all new gyroplanes available in the U.S. have been experimentals, limiting their market potential to buyers who are willing to also be home builders, and leaving qualified innovators with very little hope for a return on their investments. But in much of Europe, two-place gyros can be purchased factory-built and registered under EASA's ultralight rules. As a result, newer, stable designs are thriving there. Not surprisingly, now that the FAA is considering these newer designs for ELSA, most of the gyroplane manufacturers ready to run the ASTM gauntlet are based in Europe. The three most recent petitions come from Magni Gyro SRL of Italy, Auto Gyro GmbH of Germany, whose best-known model is the MT-03, and Sportcopter Incorporated, based in Scappoose, Oregon, which plans to sell an LSA version of its two-place enclosed cabin prototype introduced at EAA Air Venture 2007. Two previously filed petitions also remain under consideration by the FAA. The Xenon is an enclosed two-place gyro of French design, manufactured in Poland for ABS Aerolite. 10 factory-built Xenons were grandfathered to ELSA in time for the FAA's deadline in January of 2008. And are flying in the U.S. at this time. The type remains on sale in other international markets while the FAA considers the ELSA petition. Grone Brothers Aviation of Salt Lake City, Utah, sought LSA status for its Sparrowhawk enclosed two-place gyro. The company ceased manufacturing operations just over a year ago and is seeking a buyer for the Sparrowhawk line. Sikorsky Aerospace Services has formally dedicated a new plant for CTI, its Composite Technology Incorporated unit. The purpose-built helicopter blade repair and overhaul center is located at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. The company says the 152,000-square-foot building was designed using lean manufacturing concepts and is nearly three times the size of CTI's old facility in Grand Prairie, Texas. Expanded capabilities will include a 6,000-shaft-horsepower dynamic test stand and two downdraft paint booths. The company's employment has more than doubled in the past year, to 135 technicians and support staff. David Adler, who's president of Sikorsky Aerospace Services, remarked, quote, "This is a world-class blade repair facility that offers us greater efficiencies, which translates to faster repairs and lower costs for our customers," unquote. Texas Governor Rick Perry couldn't help but brag on his state a little bit. Quote, "Our state's commitment to low taxes and predictable regulations has fostered an economic climate where businesses can prosper, enabling them to develop the technology that will advance our global competitiveness and create needed jobs for hardworking Texans, unquote. Lee Moak, the former U.S. Marine pilot and current Delta Airlines captain, who presides over the Delta unit of the Airline Pilots Association, has notified his rank and file that an early retirement incentive has been arranged for pilots. It offers up to 9 months of pay and benefits for those opting to take it. The Atlanta Business Chronicle reports that Delta has cut about 6,500 jobs company-wide through voluntary buyouts and early retirements, but never before offered such an incentive to its pilots. The airline hasn't announced how many pilots it hopes to shed. Delta has additional capacity cuts planned for later this year. Moak's Wednesday memo says eligible pilots taking the offer should expect to leave the company by the end of 2009. But Delta does reserve the option to keep some working through May of next year if operational needs so require. Still ahead, the FAA wants to fine Gulfstream Airlines $1.3 million. Airbus turns 40. And how many people look like the photo on your driver's license? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 1st. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA is recommending a fine of $1.3 million against Gulfstream Airlines, based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for irregularities in record-keeping which allowed pilots to exceed the FAA's safety limits for flight time. Current and former pilots and administrative personnel had charged the airline intentionally changed computer records to work pilots more hours. The FAA said its investigation showed the discrepancies to be clerical errors, not intentional cheating on the rules. Gulfstream International Group CEO David Hackett said that of the 18 suspect entries found by the FAA in its 9-month investigation, the company believes only one actually resulted in a pilot exceeding flight time limits. The Wall Street Journal reports that Gulfstream is getting a more intense focus as part of tighter FAA scrutiny of the regionals following the February crash of Continental Connections Flight 3407 at Buffalo, although the investigation into Gulfstream's records had already been underway for months by the time of that accident. A significant milestone was noted Friday, the 40th anniversary of the signing of an agreement between French and German officials, which led to joint development of the A300 airliner and the birth of Airbus on May 29, 1969. Originally, the building of only 300 of the aircraft was anticipated. So far, 822 A300 and 310 jets have been built for a total of 80 customers worldwide. The fleet has accumulated more than 30 million flight hours, and 620 of the planes are still on the job. Spain and Britain have since joined Airbus, which, including all models, has delivered more than 5,600 aircraft to 400 individual customers and has an order backlog of 3,500 more. And finally today, a Pennsylvania woman who triggered an Amber Alert last Tuesday with a false claim that she and her 9-year-old daughter had been locked in a trunk by carjackers has triggered a controversy surrounding airport security. The FBI says its agents arrested Bonnie Sweeten in a hotel at Walt Disney World, ending the hunt for the fabricated carjackers in Pennsylvania. But the woman got herself and her daughter on a plane to Florida under a false name by paying cash for the ticket and using the driver's license of a friend who looked similar. The ruse got past airport security because the government-issued photo ID was authenticated and matched the name on the ticket. The daughter was not required to show ID to board the plane because of her age. TSA spokeswoman Ann Davis told the Philadelphia Inquirer, quote, "Our officers are trained to make sure that passengers' travel documents and government-issued IDs are legitimate. If the photo bears a strong resemblance to the passenger and all other markings appear to be legitimate, then the ID would not raise any red flags," unquote. FBI Special Agent J.J. Claver told the paper that despite the bad quality of DMV photos, quote, "We don't use biometrics, fingerprints, retinal scans. It would be prohibitively expensive. We use a driver's license. The woman took steps to get away. She was successful at it. Does this show some systemic weakness in our security process? That's an opinion I'm not going to offer, unquote. Pardon me, I just have to ask, is anything prohibitively expensive by TSA standards? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells us why clean airplanes are better and why your airspeed indicator may be more important than you knew. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.